Sometimes we lose sight of the world around us. It's different today, or ask the question, is it different today than in the time of Christ? Same message, same response from the world. We've been blessed in this country in that we have been allowed to worship in relative freedom, which is not the case throughout the world in many countries where Christians struggle to survive. And I use the term Christian loosely as the world uses it, not as Scripture uses it. In 2003, Iran was estimated to have 1.5 million Christians. Today it's estimated at 150,000. We can search the internet today and see sites that are entitled Top 50 Countries Where It's Hardest to Be a Christian, Top 10 Most Dangerous Places to Be a Christian. For it's estimated 215 million Christians worldwide experience very high to extreme persecutions in the world today. Even today in our country, we recently saw two senators cast doubt on a nomination to sit on the U.S. District Court by targeting his faith as being unfit to serve. The pandemic has brought forth governmental controls for the first time on Christian meetings, singing, worshiping as God would have us to do in this country. We know our faith. Thirdly, we know our fate in the next life. We have judgment, eternal life, or eternal death. Hebrews 9:27 and 28, he says, and it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that the judgment. For as Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. These are absolutes for a Christian. But lastly, what I want to focus on this morning as we live our lives in this world is that God loves us. That is an absolute in our lives. Sometimes we take this for granted and we don't meditate on the driving force that gives us hope in this life and the life to come. And that is that God loves us. All of the scriptures are based on this fundamental truth. Everything we read throughout the scriptures is based on the fact that God loved us. God sent his... for we know John 3:16. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of the God. One of the first songs we teach our children is Jesus Loves Me. And that's the basis for... foundation for future teachings of our children. When we think about the love that God has for us, that his only Son was sacrificed that we might have eternal life, it's hard for the worldly mind to grasp the depth of that love. For we are not in a godly state, but an ungodly state. Perhaps the author of Romans said it best in Romans 5 and 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And then in John 15 and 13 he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servant, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. Paul expanded on the state of man when God's love was extended to man. In 1 Corinthians 6:9, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And then he goes on to say, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of our God." Romans 3:23, he says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." It is a free gift from the grace of God. Romans 5:15. "But not as the offense ought, but so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses into justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man disobedience many were made sinners, so as by one man, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." In 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 9, he said, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." And so we ask the question, how does God know we love him? In 1 John 4:19, he says, "We love him because he first loved us." In John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In 2 John 9, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." If we live in this life, whatever trials or tribulations we face in this world, remember the foundation of your faith, the foundation of your hope, is that God loves you. And his name has made the ultimate sacrifice by sending his Son to die, that we might have forgiveness of our sins and everlasting life in the life to come. We live in this physical life for the spiritual life to come. In 2 Peter 3:10, he says, "But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy living and in godliness?" And in verse 13 he says, "Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." We walk knowing that hope knowing the hope that is in us because God loves us. In 1 Timothy 2 and 4, he says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth?" It's God's will that all men in this world would be saved. There's 7.5 billion in the world population today. 2.5 billion Christians, as the world uses the term. There are no unknowns in this life. We are born, we live, we die, we are judged, and we live this life that God loves us, has prepared a way for eternal life. A very basic lesson, yet the foundation of our hope in the life and the life to come. Live your life knowing God loves you. Whatever comes to pass in this life, in this world, that love will always be with mankind. I heard a documentary several months ago, and I can't remember the country, but it was either in India or Turkey or one of those countries. And and there they had Christian villages that were there. Those that were against Christianity came into the villages and started killing the men, just literally beating them to death in the streets. And there was some documentary film showing all of that. And in one village, they killed over 50 men because they were Christians. And as things cooled down several weeks or months later, they were interviewing one of the ladies whose husband was killed in the street and wanted to know if anything had changed as far as their relationship, their Christianity, faith in Jesus, and so forth. And she said, you know, I can remember the answer that she gave. She says, "There is no life without Jesus." Now, I don't know what faith they were or denomination or any of this, but the answer to me showed that she knew that God loved her and that God had prepared a way for us to be saved in this life. If we live this life, that God loves us and prepares a way for eternal life. It's a very basic lesson, yet the foundation of our hope in this life and the life to come. Live your life knowing that God loves you. Can you imagine a life without God's love toward man? Can you imagine a life without Christ in your life? The lesson is yours. If you're not a Christian, we always offer an invitation to recognize Jesus as your Savior, to repent of your sins, to be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins, and to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. If you are a Christian and you need the prayers of the church, we offer this time for that opportunity as we stand and sing this song.